AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Welcome back, Houston. These guys missed you over the last break. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
9780 says with Salazar going down, I think Diaz will play even less. I understand that. I understand that line of thinking. How is that acceptable? How is it acceptable when you have an offense that is below average in Major League Baseball and Yiner Diaz is arguably your fifth best offensive player?
Yeah, I just think you have to find a spot for him.
And I
understand it as well that you need the insurance policy, that you can't be putting him somewhere else. And what happens if something happens to Maldi during the game and all these other things?
Well, like, if he's at first, you just move him behind the dish.
Sure. Excuse me. But at the same time, I still think that this is different than Dubon because of the pop. Because of the fact that this is a guy that could be an impact hitter and at any time could change the game with one swing, you've got to find a spot for him in this lineup. And there are spots to be filled. There's enough spots, as you highlighted, in this lineup for periodic starts. It's not going to be one position the entire time like it would be if he was just catching. But he's shown that you don't have to do a Michael Brantley thing to get him ready to play first base. He's got other positions he could play. And he could also fill in a designated hitter. You had Hensley fill in a designated hitter every now and then. There are bats to be had for this guy, and he needs to get them.
713-780-ESPN. 8693. So is Corey Lee a trade piece, or are we looking at Diaz as a first baseman of the future and Lee at catcher? I personally think, especially with Abreu still having 2 years left on his deal after this year, I don't think they're going to buy him out. I don't think that they're going to pay that contract to just go away. I think Corey Lee is – I believe that Corey Lee will not be a member of the Houston Astros organization on August 2nd.
No, we talked about it. I mean, this is with a farm system that isn't quite up to what the other teams that are going to be in the trade market can bring to the table. He's a guy that's going to get some eyebrows raised and get some people to focus on saying, this could be our catcher of the future. This is a guy we'd be interested in, and this will open up a discussion. So I agree with you. I think that he is their first trade chip that is going to be on the table no matter what they're looking for, a bat, a pitcher, whatever. Yep. And I think that he'll probably be elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a member of the Astros. I think he's their best trade piece, to be quite honest, because I don't think they're going to trade Drew Gilbert. They're not going to trade anybody that's currently on the big league team. That's, like, really good. Like, you're not trading Brown. You're not trading Jeremy Pena. I think Corey Lee's their best piece. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Blankers, Texans are over there at OTAs. Cody was over there, I think. He was commenting on Nick Caserio's Pell ankles.
Cody, which is covering the Texans?
I hope he has his 11 observations.
Yeah, I think that should be coming. Yeah.
I do miss those. But yeah, he sent out a tweet about how white Nick Caserio's ankles were.
Oh.
He was wearing leggings. They might open their show with that today.
Maybe.
That GM Nick Caserio wearing leggings and his calves are really white. Whose calves are whiter, Nick Caserio's or Jake Asman? 713-780-3776.
You think Nick could kick a soccer ball?
I believe he could.
With a wrist?
I mean, he played football.
Oh, well, there you go.
He played football where John Hopkins, right? Like, I think he can go a little bit. And he works out
all
the time.
He played with, what's his name from the Raiders?
McDaniels.
Yeah.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, they played college ball.
I think that's why Ben McDaniels is on the staff.
I think you're right.
Like, Caserio's a little bit of an athlete. Like, if you put Caserio in our radio lineup, I think Nick Caserio would be the best athlete in our radio lineup.
Oh, you can tell that he's working out all the time.
Yeah, he gets after it a little bit.
Yep.
I don't know why his ankles are so white. You have to ask Cody from 3-7. Who are the Texans' best three players right now? Right now, who are their best three?
Damian Pierce.
In order? Are you going in order?
No, not in order.
Okay.
I'm just naming three players.
Pierce is in my top three.
Yeah, Damian Pierce is one of them.
I think that this is a conversation that is a good conversation after number one. I think number one is very obvious. Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil is, I believe, easily the best player relative to their position than anybody else on this team. I think after Laremy Tunsil.
I think he better be.
He should be.
Well, yeah.
And he was last year. After Laremy Tunsil, though, is where the conversation starts. Because I think you can make a case for a lot of players. I think you can make a case against a lot of players. I don't think there's a unanimous number two or a unanimous number three.
But we talked about throughout the year that Dameon Pierce was the best offensive player on the team.
Agreed.
Obviously taking out of consideration offensive linemen.
Production. Like, I think Cooks was a better player, but he didn't produce to what Dameon Pierce produced.
So the focus of defenses and the production with the yardage was all on Pierce. So I believe he's got to be in this conversation. So I think if you go Tunsil and you go Pierce, now I'm looking for a defender as my number three.
See, here's my top three. I have Tunsil at one. I have Jalen Petrie at two, which might be controversial. And this is what I mean. The conversation starts at two. Because I think you can make the case for a lot of guys. I think you can make the case against a lot of guys. I think you can make the case against Jalen Petrie. Missed tons of tackles. To me, it was about the promise that he showed. And I think he's going to clean it up from year one to year two.
I wasn't willing to put Christian Harris in my top three.
See?
But Christian Harris,
he came in my mind.
From what we saw, and like you were talking about, an impact once he started playing, I think he's in the discussion.
I wouldn't crush you if you had Harris in your top three. Like, I think you have to present a case there, and it might be slight reach, but I mean, who's to say that Harris isn't going to have a better defensive year than Jalen Petrie? I think it's very plausible and possible. I have Dameon Pierce as my number three. You can make a case Dameon Pierce isn't in the top three. Right. So, like, there's a, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing for the Texans, to be quite honest.
There's two guys that they just brought in that both could be in the conversation. I think Dalton Schultz could be in the conversation.
I thought about him.
And I think Sheldon Rankins could be in the conversation. Because Sheldon Rankins, because of how desperately they need to stop the run and how disruptive he can be on the defensive line, I think Sheldon Rankins is a guy that you could consider.
See, I think you can consider Rankins. I think you can consider Billy Collins.
Yeah.
You could make a case for the rookies. You could make a case for C.J. Stroud. Like, if you're going to throw Derek Stingley on this list, another guy you can make the case for, Derek Stingley was the third pick of the 2022 NFL draft and didn't play a full season.
Right.
C.J. Stroud's a quarterback was the number two pick. You could make a case for Will Anderson, who was also the number three pick.
Because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know how quickly they're going to make the transition and how good they're going to be and if they're going to make the transition. Because we're still incomplete on Kenyon Green. And we obviously didn't see enough of Stingley. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't put either one of the first round picks on this list.
Laramie's the only unanimous one.
What about Titus?
Titus Howard. I think some people could have him in their top three. I would disagree on that.
I think he's top 10.
But he's another dude that could potentially be a top three player. Like, just go around the horn here. Dameon Pierce can be in the top three, cannot be in the top three. Todd said he thinks Devin Singletary is better than Dameon Pierce. Singletary can play a little bit.
Yep.
I like the tandem. I'm not going to say Singletary is better than Pierce, but I do like the tandem. I'm not going to put Kenyon Green. Shaq Mason? I mean, you traded for him. You gave him a pretty significant contract. He could potentially be in that conversation.
A lot of people are going to hint for John Metchie thinking on potential.
Maybe.
We haven't seen him.
Maybe could be on that list. Joe just mentioned Titus Howard, so that's three. You mentioned John Metchie. It's hard for me to go another receiver there right now. You mentioned Dalton Schultz. That's five guys on the offensive side of the ball that can potentially be, and I'm not even going to say top three, I'm going to say second or third, because Laremy Tunsil was one. But they're in that conversation. Defensively, we talked about both defensive tackles, that's two. Maybe Will Anderson. I couldn't give you John Grenard. Maybe if we had this conversation last year, but not this year. Christian Harris, potential-wise, could potentially be on this list. Derek Stingley could potentially be. Jalen Petrie could potentially be. Jimmy Ward,
if he plays like he played in San Francisco, and because it's D'Amico's defense, and D'Amico's going to rely on him a lot in the huddle, I think it's possible.
I think there's some people that would put Jimmy Ward in their top three because of the back of his baseball card. I don't think he's in the top three, but I think some people would. So what is that? That's seven guys on the defensive side of the ball. That's five guys on the offensive side of the ball. The Texans have 12 players that could potentially be the second or third best player on the Houston Texans.
Kyamie Fairburn.
Relative to his position?
No.
I thought he got snubbed from the Pro Bowl last year.
Agreed.
He had a great.
The fact that Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler, not Kyamie Fairburn.
Fairburn got snubbed.
What are we doing?
He did. He got snubbed.
Okay.
He had a good year. Cam Johnson had a pretty good year, too.
You know what? I'd think differently of Kyamie Fairburn if I didn't know how much money he was stealing every
year. He is making a lot of money, but he's also a good teammate.
Okay.
He gave
up the number.
Yeah, he gave C.J. Stroud number seven. Now, he had to be bought, but that's fine.
Is he a good teammate if he didn't just give it to him?
How did Daniel House do that for Jalen Green?
He didn't do it.
Exactly.
Bad teammate.
Bad teammate.
Well, that's not shocking.
Not Daniel easily House? Impressionable.
Come on.
Well, Daniel House at the time supposedly had a rap album coming out that referenced the number that he needed.
What happened to it?
I don't know.
He also left the bubble.
I thought he didn't leave the bubble.
He didn't leave it. He just entered another one, someone's room.
He had somebody invade the bubble.
That's right.
Actually, I don't even know if she was like in the bubble. She was allowed to be in the bubble.
She was not supposed to be in the room. She was working in the hotel.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So we just listed 12 guys on the Texans that could be in the top three of best player on their team. Are we missing any? 713-780-ESPN. And what does it say about the Texans that it's kind of, you know, murky? That we really don't know who the second, third best player is on this team. Are there foundational pieces? Are there pillars in place? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
Astros had 19 hits yesterday. Will they have as many hits the rest of the series as they had last night?
Three games left.
Where?
Yeah, they will.
They're padding it little after they scored 10 runs.
I should probably look at the pitching matchups first, but I'll say yes.
Yeah, they should. They should in three games. Two games would be in question, though. 713-780-ESPN. Who are in your top three? The Texans right now. Who are the Texans' best players? 8858 says that you can make a case for Shaq Mason. I think there's 12 guys you could make a case for. Laremy Tunsil's unanimous. 12 other guys that could you can make a case for, you can make a case against. Willie's saying that he thinks Singletary's going to have more yards than...
Total yards?
Damian Pierce. Maybe he's not. Singletary's going to have more of what than Pierce? Yards, receptions, or touchdowns?
I believe.
I think he'll have more receptions than Damian Pierce. Singletary's pretty good out of the backfield.
Yep.
Total yards could be questionable.
Yeah, no, I don't... total yards, I think it's definitely going to be Pierce.
Total yards, I think, can be questionable. I think that Singletary could potentially... challenge Pierce for that.
Do you?
Yeah, because he's going to catch the ball a lot. And if you expect the Texans to be down a lot, they're going to throw it a little bit more, especially late.
I just think that as your bell cow and the primary focus as a running back is going to just be enough to have him more with more yards.
I think it's in play. I do think it's in play. Now, what would it take for one of the rookies to be on this list? Could I sell it to you right now before they've ever played a snap in the NFL?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, look, I think that Will Anderson has a chance. Will Anderson, if he is disruptive, I mean, he doesn't even have to be like all pro caliber, but if he just shows you that he can be disruptive, that he understands and is grasping D'Amico's defense, and that he is even, you know, close to what he was at Alabama, and he makes the transition quickly, I think he can be on the list.
See, I think that if you go from a talent perspective, if you're making the case from Derek Stingley or even like Jalen Petrie, I know Petrie had a good rookie year. But if you're especially Stingley, if you're making the case for Stingley, I think you can make the case for C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, because C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson coming out of college were better draft prospects than Stingley. A large part of that's because Stingley didn't play a whole lot in his junior year. And we saw Will Anderson be one of the best defensive players for 3 years straight in all of college football. We saw C.J. Stroud be really good his entire collegiate career, and in the Georgia game is the cherry on top. Like, I think that you can make a case of Stroud and Anderson before you can make a case of Derek Stingley.
I think that's fair, but I think that, again, a lot of people are just anticipating D'Amico's defense is going to be more catered to the strengths of Stingley, and that we're going to see the true Stingley this year. But I think because of the fact that he came into the league with question marks, and because those question marks are still there, not because of the injury, but because of the way he was used, not used, or the fact that he didn't play enough, it's a lot easier, I think, to put a guy like Will Anderson on the list before Stingley because of the fact that Will Anderson coming in doesn't give you any question marks or concerns. You just want to see how quickly he grasps playing on the next level.
Yeah. Joe, who's your – well, Joe's leaving the room. 713-780-ESPN.
No, he sits down.
Who's in your top three? I said Tunsil, Petrie, Pierce. You said Tunsil, Pierce was in your top three.
No, I said Tunsil, Petrie, and Christian Harris.
Oh, you had Harris ahead of Pierce.
No, I'm sorry. I said I had – no, you're right. I had Pierce – I had Tunsil, and I had...
Harris and Head of Petrie. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I can't include the rookies?
Yeah.
So Tunsil, Pierce, Will Anderson.
Anderson ahead of Stroud. So you're putting Anderson over the second pick.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that I don't like CJ, but Will Anderson's been one of the most... He's been one of the best pass rushers in college football for the last 2 years in the best conference.
Did he go to the Heisman ceremony?
No.
Oh.
Wait, did he?
No, Anderson didn't. Stroud did, though.
Are you sure Will Anderson didn't go junior year?
He might. But even sophomore year, probably.
Matter. That's semantics.
Sophomore year, probably not.
That's
it
not
is.
A,
it is.
Potato,
it is semantics.
Because
it is, he's right. He's
I mean,
right.
How many defensive players go to the Heisman Trophy?
Not very many.
Like,
last one to win it was what, Desmond or Charles Woodson, right?
Yeah, and does he even really count?
Sure. Yeah, he played what? Corner.
Because, but he also played offense and special teams.
He was kind of a gimmicky offensive guy.
Yeah, but he
though.
Scored on offense.
He did.
He scored on special teams and defense.
Yeah. I remember when the.
Definitely
when,
deserved.
When,
but.
When the Cougars were trying to get Ed Oliver into the Heisman hunt, they had him, like, goal line back.
Oh, I remember that.
He had a touchdown in the Hawaii Bowl, the Aloha Bowl.
Was that before or after he, like, ripped off the jacket or
that
whatever
was
that was?
That Yeah. 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 They didn't like the whole jacket thing.
Before he said he wanted to really go to LSU.
Oh, yeah. He had to bring that up, huh? 1-1. He just got paid, by the way, Ed Oliver did. Go Cougs.
Remember this offseason when people
thought...
He still
comes to U of H games, though.
He wanted to come here? Or, like, he wanted out of Buffalo?
I think people thought that the Bills were going to move on.
Yeah.
And that if he was a free agent, that they wanted him here. Which, I mean, he's a great football player.
Yeah.
He's
well,
a really
at the same
good
time,
player.
Too, I think from a Bills perspective, it was smart. Because they knew that there was going to be some pretty premier defensive linemen that are going to be interior defensive linemen that were going to hit the market. And if they believed in Ed at all and his abilities going forward, they wrapped him up before he hit the open market and pushed the price up.
Is it a good or a bad thing that it's so hard to name a second and third best player on this team? Because I think if you go around the NFL, like you, especially 345, they like you look at the Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champion, Mahomes, Kelsey, easy.
Flat
third
bucks.
One maybe a little bit more difficult. You look at the Eagles. The Eagles are loaded. Like you,
I mean,
but you
go
Jalen
Hurts, both their receivers,
both of their
to.
Receivers, and they have tons of defensive dudes that you could yeah. probably make the case for too.
The problem is that when you're talking about the Texans and their top three players versus a team like the Eagles and the top three players, you're making an argument for some of the best players in the NFL for the Eagles.
Right.
Like you're talking about elite pass rushers, guys who have you
MVP
know,
at quarterback.
Is Hassan Reddick the top three player? Like, led the NFC in sacks last year? No. But could you put him in that conversation? Absolutely. For the Texans, it's pretty much a bunch of guys who have accomplished nothing.
Well, aside for Laramie. But yes,
besides I think
Laramie.
It's a bad thing when we're sitting there grasping at straws trying to find the Texans.
It shows you where their roster is relative
sure.
to the rest of the NFL.
And as much as people think how far they've come in just a couple of drafts and from last season to this season, how far they still have to go.
Yeah. 8693 says, don't forget Honey Badger. That ship sailed like 4 years ago.
Is he on the Saints still?
I believe so. Yeah. Not with the Houston Texans.
That's what I'm saying.
though.
When you got to try
I was
name,
almost confused.
When you have to
me too.
Play name that team, that means you probably haven't made your mark in the last couple of years.
But like in a positive way, it also is this team is young. And I think you could very easily see this conversation happening in 2 years. And we're all talking about the same names. And it becomes that positive.
Yeah.
Is it still Tunsil? Like besides C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, who's that third guy? There's a very much like it's there. There's a clear path to where this can be a positive conversation. Right now, it's just kind of a bunch of meh.
1185 because you can't pick a definitive time. 3 is a positive thing, not a negative thing. It means there are 12 people that are playing good enough to be considered. That's good. I don't see it as a negative at all. I think it depends on how you're looking at it. Like if you're looking at it. What are the Texans, what does their roster look like compared to the rest of the NFL in 2023? I think it is telling to the sense that the Texans still have a bottom 5-7 roster in the entire NFL. To Joe's point, like you can put a positive spin on it. You can look at it and say, well, look, we just mentioned 12 names. 7-8 of those are in their first 3 years as an NFL football player. It shows you that the Houston Texans have a good, you know, framework of being able to build to be like a good roster at some point. But right now, today, the Texans roster is still towards the bottom of the league with mm-hmm. promise that you have a foundation right now that can elevate in the next few years.
Yeah, the most encouraging thing is the potential of almost every guy that we're putting on this list that no matter where we see them now currently – the potential is they're going to get better, and then they might be in a bigger conversation across the league in a couple of years. But for now, because as good as we see this roster improving, because of the fact that we see younger, more talented players being added, there's still such a huge step to overcome to try and get from the basement of rosters to even respectability from where you're coming from. That it's going to take time and the development of the players you already have while adding more players to the mix, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, I think that they're on the right track. But the roster is still not there relative to the rest of the league yet. Junior Broncos, why is nobody saying Case Keenum? It's a good point. Go Cougs. Although I don't think he's going to be the backup quarterback on this team. I think Davis Mills is the backup quarterback on the Houston Texans.
I'm still thinking it's going to be Case Keenum. I think they might find a new home for Davis Mills.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think you can get for Davis Mills right now?
I don't think you're going to recoup what you used to get him. I don't think you're going to get a third, but you might be able to get a fourth or a fifth.
I was going to say fifth at best.
Yeah, if a team is interested or a team that has a chance to get him more of an opportunity, even as a backup, I think you could get a fourth or a fifth.
I'm real curious to see what Dameon Pierce looks like this year in a San Francisco Bobby Slowick scheme. You know, he's either... Last year, he was volatile. Like, he had a bunch of really good games. Best offensive player on the Texans last year from a production point of view. He also had some really bad stinkers where he had, like, 3 yards. Like, so I'm curious what he looks like with what should be a better offensive line and what should be a far better scheme. I'll be curious to see what he does there. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Every Tuesday at 1:30, it's Cash'em or trash them. We give to you some hot takes, some overreactions from the last few days, and we'll cash them or trash them. You can play along, too. What are your hot takes? What are your overreactions that you want the Killer Bees to cash or trash? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are not only welcome, they're celebrated.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay.
It's Cash 'em or Trash 'em with the Killer Bees.
This is your hot take.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or Trash 'em with the Killer Bees. You can send yours in if you'd like, if you dare. 713-780-3776. You want to lead us off, Blankers? Age
no.
Before beauty?
Sure don't.
Okay. Romeo Doubs, he said there's no difference between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
Oh, stop it. See, this is the kind of thing that I'm in for all year. This is the kind of stuff that just, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, as much as I think that Aaron Rodgers pissed off a lot of people on his way out the door, yeah, I'm trashing
trash.
It. I mean, I don't know what tipped you off, but yeah, I mean, first thing is first, and that is the fact that no matter how, you know, Aaron Rodgers disrespects rookies and doesn't care for them a whole lot. That's fine. But let's just be realistic as football talent evaluators and understand it's night versus day. You're going to try and figure out which is which?
No, I have a pretty good idea. Oh. Is it impossible that Aaron Rodgers is at his advanced age and Jordan Love, maybe he's the next Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe he's not.
Could have a better year.
This year?
Why not?
Why?
Because Rodgers isn't old.
Impossible, no. Improbable, yeah.
He's an old. You can understand why Romeo Doubs is saying,
I'm
trashing this too.
I hope Aaron Rodgers craps
trash.
The best.
I'm trashing Romeo Doubs. But, I mean, Doubs is just like vouching for his teammate and going against the guy that scorned him. I mean, I understand why he's saying, but yeah, trashing.
I mean, when you look at it, Aaron Rodgers had a bunch of new rookie wide receivers last year, Doubs included. He put zero effort before the season and working with those guys, getting to know them. The first time Christian Watson dropped the pass, he didn't want to throw him the ball again.
Which was game one on an 80-yarder that would have started the season off really well.
And then he was a touchdown machine the back half of the season. And Aaron Rodgers has always got his panties in a wad. Like, maybe Jordan Love like actually has a connection with his wide receivers. And like will get along with them and practice and work hard. And like, maybe it'll work out.
So you cashing?
No, I trash it.
Trash.
Yeah, I think we're all unanimous there.
I mean, I'm going to be a miserable human being. If he's the next Aaron Rodgers, I'm probably going to quit radio.
I got some shares in Jordan Love.
No.
Oh.
That's Bite me, Joel.
Just from noon to three. Just from noon to three.
Yeah, definitely.
Ocho says...
Well, he already has half quit.
That's not fair. You know what we're going to do?
What?
I just emailed the new intern, Trey.
Yeah.
And said, look, man, I'm busy.
It's a good idea.
I'm going to send 2 interns
That's not
down
bad.
To get you.
Can we put like a GoPro on one of them?
Good luck.
So let's put a GoPro on one of them. Ocho says, Gabe Vincent for $10 million per year or Harden for $30 million. Actually, let me rephrase this. Gabe Vincent for $10 million a year over Harden for $30 million a year.
Oh.
Cash or trash?
Trash.
Trash.
Whoa.
Cash.
I'm going to cash it too. I'm out on Harden.
No question. I'm totally out on Harden. And I'm in on a guy that... on the big stage has stepped up. Gabe Vincent isn't afraid to score on anybody, and he plays the same game no matter what stakes are on the line. Dude has been impressive, and he played through injury, and he's less money, and he fits in by being a point guard to distribute to your young talent instead of, like, stunting their growth.
Does he lead the league in assists?
No, he doesn't.
I just don't, like, are you that guy who you are in Miami right now?
Probably not.
In Houston? Like, no. Are you really worth $10 million?
Probably not.
That's why I'd say I'd rather. I know what Harden is.
Today's prices in the NBA, the salaries, that's not $10 million a year for Gabe Vincent. Yeah, it's not overpaying.
Yeah, part of that salary is unrealistic.
The Harden part?
No, the
Gabe You think Vincent. He's getting more?
If he's a free agent, yeah. The way he's played, definitely.
Yeah. Here's one from John Granato. Are we cashing or trashing what John Granato from the bench, godfather of Houston Sports Radio, had to say about Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick, without Tom Brady, has been an average and a lot of times a below-average head coach. He was with Cleveland, and he has been with New England. He doesn't win without Tom Brady.
I'm going to trash it simply because he did. He did with a rookie quarterback, and he made the playoffs. With all due respect to the godfather, because I don't want to get in a back and forth and get suspended.
Respectfully.
But, yeah.
Respectfully
in the discussion of sports, I'm going to trash this take
because
I saw Belichick take Mac Jones in his rookie year and make the playoffs.
I'm going to respectfully trash this as well. Again, respectfully.
Trash.
Respectfully, sir. Respectfully, I'm trashing Granato's take on Belichick. Now, I think that there is a conversation there. Is Bill Belichick the greatest coach of all time whenever he doesn't have Tom Brady? No. But he's not an average coach or a bad coach. In fact, he did win in Cleveland. He went to the playoffs, won 11 games in 94, went to the playoffs with the Cleveland Browns before Cleveland Browns were going to the playoffs. He won 11 games with Matt Cassel after Tom Brady tore his ACL in 2008, and he went to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones 2 years ago. So again, respectfully, trashing this one.
I have a hard time with this one because I hear what you're saying.
Thanks.
But he put Joe Judge and Matt Patricia as his offensive coordinators last year because he thinks he's so much smarter than everyone else.
What did he do, though? What did he do this year? He learned his lesson and hired a qualified offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go in.
I'm going to cash this.
There we go. Oh, he cashed it.
That's mucking up the water.
Because I just don't.
Twice
like,
behind
he's
the
made it to the playoffs, but like, he hasn't really won anything without Tom Brady. Cassel year, that team was stacked.
They missed the playoffs, too.
Here's
what I don't understand.
That's almost unfair.
Either. When you compare the two of them. The fact that Belichick, you know, franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees, but the fact that he took a rookie quarterback to the playoffs with the roster and the everything that he already had. Tom Brady just made a dream team. Everybody came to Tampa to follow him. It was like the Pied Piper. He had his pick of veterans that wanted to come play with him as well. They already had a pretty good nucleus, and Brady ended up winning a Super Bowl. That's all credit to him. But I don't think you crap on Belichick just because.
It's not crapping, but I think average is fair.
I think he's a little above average.
Yeah, I think he's above average too.
I think it was gross stupidity with his offensive coordinators the last 2 years.
It really does warp my opinion about him just because it's the most recent thing. It's so bizarre. It's really he's done nothing like that.
But he deserves 1 year to try it, and it didn't work, and he abandoned ship.
He's also terrible at drafting.
Yeah, but that's not coaching.
Yeah, I know. He's so bad.
But he is the general manager, right?
Respectfully. I don't think by title, but...
But I think by power.
I don't think he's by title.
I think he is, too, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think...
He's the one that they always show in the living room or the draft room making the selections.
I'm talking about, like, technically the title. I completely agree that he's the one making the decisions. He's, you know, he has control of the 53. But I think if you pull up their, like, directory, I don't think that he's on the front office list. 713-780-ESPN if you know. Speaking of the Patriots, there is some reports, because DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent, multiple people are reporting this, that the Bill O'Brien, DeAndre Hopkins saga is overblown. Cashing or trashing that?
Trash that. I think
trash.
We know too much, really? Having been in this market and around this situation. And I always say the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Where even somewhere in the middle, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, if I never see Bill O'Brien again, I would be just fine. Because between the he doesn't practice and the baby mamas and the way it all ended and the fact that he, you know, DeAndre got disrespected a ton for a guy that was arguably the best receiver in the NFL at the time of his departure, I would just say, hey, miss me on all the
hey, it's not that bad, and just if I never see the dude again, I'd be just fine.
I'm actually going to, you said you trashed it?
I trashed
it. I'm going to actually cash this. I believe that that whole Bill O'Brien quotes, all of that stuff, was a hit piece orchestrated by Jack Easterby. So everybody looked at Jack Easterby in a little bit better light, and they put all the blame and all the responsibility on Bill O'Brien. DeAndre Hopkins' best years of his career came when Bill O'Brien was his play caller whenever he was the head coach. Do I think that it's like chummy between the two? No. But I do think it's overblown to that point to where if DeAndre Hopkins is given the best contract from the Patriots, I'd be like, no, I'm good. Bill O'Brien's there. If the Patriots give Hopkins the best contract, I think he's playing for the Patriots next year.
I think he's going to look for the best combination and the best of both worlds. He said he wants to get away from, you know, he wants a really true quarterback that's going to throw him and get him the ball, and he's going to try and recoup as much money or get as much money as he can. I think that he'll have contenders where he wants to win and still be a focal point of the offense. And I think there's enough contending teams that will appease him that will be better for him than the Patriots.
You trashed it too, Joe George?
I am a trash it, but it wouldn't shock me if it's almost like I trash it and we're right in the fact that they don't get along, but he still signs with the Patriots.
I could see that too.
Like, it's really just like a money thing.
Does it become more of a spite versus power situation where we know Belichick thinks very highly of D-Hop? And Belichick goes down to Bill O'Brien and says, hey, look, can you get over whatever happened in the past? Because I love this dude. I want him on our team. Bill O'Brien, probably begrudgingly just getting the OC job back, says, yeah, I can make it work, but then doesn't make him a focal point in the offense and isn't getting him the football enough.
See, the Bill O'Brien that I know is a Bill O'Brien that is willing to do whatever it takes to make his team better, even if it's ignorance, even if it's trading like for Laramie Tunsil. How much of the DeAndre Hopkins trade was O'Brien? How much of it was Easterby? I think that O'Brien ignorantly...
But did he make the team better?
Well, Tunsil, he did.
No, the trading of D-Hop.
Well, I think he ignorantly thought that he was making the team better. Like Brandon Cooks, I think he thought Brandon Cooks, David Johnson was greater than DeAndre Hopkins. He was terribly wrong, but he was willing to do something very risky and like a lot of courage to do that. Like, he was terribly wrong. But I don't think he would say no to DeAndre Hopkins. And like you said, like Bill O'Brien's not going to have say there. If Bill Belichick's like, yeah, we want DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins is willing to do business, they're not going to ask Bill O'Brien what he thinks. Absolutely not.
Whether they ask him or not, I think they'll have a conversation. And I think at the end of the day, Belichick's going to say, hey, Bill, make it work. If that's truly exactly who he wants. But I think that, you know, Bill O'Brien still could be the guy that, you know, you say what you say. And I believe that he made a lot of dumb moves here. And I don't know how he thinks he's bettering the team because of the culture and the fact that if he wasn't pulling the not practicing card and the baby mamas, if it was true or not, but he was performing on Sundays, how that makes you a better football team.
Yeah. Luis Arraez, who if you've been living under a rock, a lot of people have been, he's hitting .399. He's hitting .399. He is flirting with a .400 batting average through 60-plus games. There has not been a big leaguer since Tony Gwynn who hit 390. No one's hit 390 or better since Tony Gwynn. Luis Arraez is flirting with a .400 batting average. He's .399 as of right now. Luis Arraez is an electric baseball player. Cash or trash?
Oh, cash. He's one of the best kept secrets in Major League Baseball. Yeah. And because he's playing for a team that is completely irrelevant to the rest of the baseball world, if you're not watching Miami baseball, then the fact of the matter is you don't know a whole hell of a lot about this guy, and he is ripping the cover off of it. He is a machine at the plate, and I think that he's going to be someone to watch. I don't think that he's going to hit .400 for the season. There's just too much good pitching in this league over the course of 162, but I think he's one of the better hitters in this game.
Can he do .390?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He's good.
He was pretty close last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he led the league in average. I think it was like .361.
Yeah, okay. See, that's a pretty big step away.
It's just hard because like the way he's playing.
No shift. Bigger bags. He had .316 last year. I was way off. He led the league at .316.
Yeah, that's a bigger jump, Joe.
.316.
I don't know. Like,
Minnesota
don't
just traded him, right? They just dumped out.
Well, they got a pitcher. They got Pablo Lopez, who was pretty good. But
he ain't that.
No, it was a bad trade.
No, very bad trade.
You have him and Correa on the infield.
Oof. Yeah. I wish the Astros would have traded Luis Garcia for him.
Can you imagine him in his lineup? I don't know where you put him.
Wait, where do you play him?
First base, I guess.
Yeah, first base.
Yeah. Do I get to go?
Yeah,
sure.
All right. The Houston Astros biggest trade.
Oh, hold on, real quick. You're coming up with.
Yeah, shut down the
reason. The reason that I brought up the Arise thing is he electric yesterday. The backstory on this, I quote tweeted something. I said Luis Arise is one of the most electric baseball players in baseball. Cody goes, no, he's not. So Cody does not. Cody's trashing this. He doesn't think Luis Arise, a .399 hitter,
and he's one of the big boys. So you should just shut up and take your medicine.
I'm a measly midday guy. All right, yeah, go Joe George. My bad.
All right, the Astros' biggest trade deadline acquisition will come from the Philadelphia Phillies, and it will be Nick Castellanos or Aaron Nola.
I hadn't thought about Castellanos. I had put some thought into Nola.
Yep.
I don't see Philadelphia selling, though.
I'm gonna
trash this because I don't think the Phillies will be selling.
I don't think they will either because they made the playoffs in the last day of the season last year.
And, like, Harper came back early off of TJ. Like, they're a fan base that, like, is nuts that if they're selling off a team that won the National League last year, they're going to lose their minds.
Do you think they would keep Nola and let him walk?
I think they could potentially re-sign Nola in the offseason. Like, they're a team that's willing to spin, though.
If they were going to keep him, they would have got him in this last offseason.
Why,
they tried.
But what's the incentive for Nola to do that?
No, you're right.
I don't know.
That's the hardest thing. When you get down to that last year, it puts you in the team. It makes the most sense. But you're a player. You've gotten all that time to free agency. Just pitch one more season, hit the open market, and you're going to make a bunch of money.
Nola is also like homegrown, so they would get compensation for Nola that he wouldn't leave for like free. I mean, compensation is not as good as what you could flip him for at the deadline, but you wouldn't lose him for zero.
I think they're going to ride it out and they're going to see what happens in the offseason and have him test the market because I think there's a belief that he isn't even close to what he used to be. And again, he's on a prove it and he's going to have to prove it. And he's got to prove it all the way through if they have hopes of making the postseason.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to trash that. Castellanos, no way.
Trash.
Castellanos makes $20 million a year through 2026.
At least he's a better Nick Castellanos than he was last season.
Yeah, that doesn't say much.
No.
Trashing that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Any other cashes or trashes, just tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. Kenyon Martin, Sr., he said some things about James Harden. Spoiler alert. He does not want James Harden in Houston. Are we surprised by this? Is Kenyon Martin right? Is Kenyon Martin the savant that we all needed? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are oftentimes presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Bad Romance.
Gaga.
That's right. Joe's got a little Lady Gaga streak going. Played Lady Gaga yesterday.
Kind of likes her.
How many days in a row have you played Lady Gaga?
I don't know.
At least two.
What's
yesterday
was
Joe? Poker Face. Today no, I just, it's I found Bad this Romance.
Playlist that I'm just working through.
You're lying.
Do you want to come see it?
You're a little monster. You just don't want to admit it.
Nope.
You don't like Gaga?
She's all right.
Huh. Do you like Kenyon Martin? Kenyon Martin Jr.'s dad?
Daddy. I don't like him butting into business.
He butts into business.
Boy, he certainly makes his opinion known. Like before, it was that his son wanted to be traded and this wasn't the right situation for him. And then lo and behold, he doesn't get traded and has a breakout season and everything works out perfectly. And it's like, hey, Kenyon, just sit this one out. Let your son just keep playing. He's not done.
I like KJ Martin. I want to keep him around. I want him to be one of the top eight guys on this team next year. And I think he could be a role player on a playoff team. Here was Kenyon Martin Sr. talking about the potential addition of James Harden reuniting with the Rockets and playing with his son, KJ Martin.
I just don't think you putting them in a situation where your core guys that you are depending on are 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Because you stunt their growth and their development. If you're depending on Jalen to be this superstar that you were trying to put him in role to be, then I think it's going to stunt Jalen's growth. And Jabari and Sengun and those kids who you drafted first round high, who you feature, who you depend on. I just think James, the way he demands the ball and his style of play right now, will stunt their growth.
There you go. That was Kenyon Martin, doesn't want James Harden anywhere around his son in the Houston Rockets.
I basically have said the exact same thing since we've had these discussions. I just don't see it. I don't care where James Harden ends up as long as it's not here. And I believe that he will
stunt the growth of this entire young roster and be more of a negative than a positive everywhere except for the bottom line for Tillman Fertitta. And that's why I don't think James Harden should be a Rocket next year or for the foreseeable future. And if I have it my way, ever again.
Yeah, I'm to this point too. Like we've talked about this to we're blue in the face about James Harden. I kind of like how Kenyon Martin didn't say his son's name. I think it was calculated and by design, but I'm happy he talked about the other young players and not his son.
Yeah, but he also kind of took a little by saying, you know,
he did.
You know, the higher drafted kids that, you know, are going to be the focal point and the focus of, not to say that his son shouldn't be in the mix, but
because I think he tried to not mention his son's name to like kind of legitimate, like to make what he said legitimate. Like I think if he said his son's name, and I think Kenyon Martin knew this, that it would make everything that he said non-credible. Mm-hmm. I think by not saying his name, it makes it far more credible.
Because isn't it? I felt like his response was actually going to be yes when I saw the headline, because KJ Martin with like pick and roll with James Harden. Like think about what they did with Capella.
I was just going to say the Capella factor is definitely something.
KJ Martin's like the one piece where like with James Harden, I think is like the perfect fit. So I'm almost surprised to hear him have that take.
You think about what Harden and Chris Paul did for Capella's career with alley-oops off the pick and roll, the high pick and roll.
Yeah.
You could make an argument that he might be the best fit. He's not a great fit for Şengün and Green and Smith and the guys he named. He might be the best fit for KJ Martin.
Yeah, I can see you on that for sure. Mr. Brostash, I agree. Harden to Houston makes absolutely no sense. Here's where it does make sense. Like, I can understand the logic behind Harden to Houston. I don't want to see Harden to Houston. And we talked about the business side of it. Like, that's first and foremost. He would immediately help the business side of the Houston Rockets next year. I think that if you signed Harden, like whatever the deal is for James Harden, I think you're a better team this upcoming season and this next season after that. Like signing Harden, I believe, does get you more wins for the next 2 years. To your point, and I think to Kenyon Martin's point as well, is like if you're trying to build a championship contender, what is the best path to being a championship contender? I'll concede that James Harden sells more tickets, increases the revenue. I'll concede that James Harden makes you a better team next year in terms of wins and losses. He makes you a better team in wins and losses 2 years away as well. But if your goal is to build a champion, James Harden's not going to get you there. The best path in order to build a championship contender, and you might not get there anyways, but your best path to that is to develop these young players into being superstars. Do we think Jalen Green's going to be a superstar? The jury is still out, but I think you have to see it through. Is Jabari Smith going to turn into a superstar? Who knows, but we have to see it through. Is Alpi Şengün going to turn into Nikola Jokic Light? Probably not, but you have to see it through. Bringing in James Harden helped you in the short term, but it eliminates any sorts of aspirations of this build being a championship contender.
The last thing you want to do is take these young guys and get them to the last year of their contract and still be undecided about what they could be and what they've shown you that they are so far. And that's what James Harden is going to do. He's going to put you in a predicament in which you won't get to have a clear evaluation of these guys that you drafted highly because of the fact that they've all had to sit around and watch James Harden dribble the basketball and shoot it every time he wants to. And I think that's the worst case scenario, because then what you're going to see is a lot of guys that want to get out as quickly as they can. And if it's left into their hands, you're going to be left trying to get something done at the trade deadline so you don't lose them for nothing, knowing that they're not going to re-sign with you and they're done with dealing with the debacle that's been the Houston Rockets. And that's what's going to happen if you bring James Harden in and let him do what he told Chris Haynes he wants to do, which is return to a ball-dominant guy that has the ball in his hands to score.
Yeah. See, I mean, I've pushed back on you at times because I do understand the logic. I do understand how it would help you in the short term. And it's a question that you've asked in the past. Like, what is the goal? Like, is the goal being good in the short term? Because if it is, again, understand the logic of James Harden. If the goal is to try to aspire to be a championship contender, and admittedly, the Rockets have a long way to go for being a championship contender, and of course, the lottery didn't help out a whole lot with that, your best chance is to see if this young nucleus can turn into that. You get improvement from your head coach and Ime Udoka that perhaps he can, you know, groom the young players. The best chance you have to be a championship contender is if two of three, Şengün, Jalen Green, and Jabari Smith, or even the fourth pick of this draft, two of those turn into superstars. James Harden comes in here, none of them are superstars.
The bottom line, Jeremy, is two, you're either making a decision
from a business perspective or a basketball perspective. In my mind, a business perspective, it makes sense, and it makes dollars that make sense. From a basketball perspective, it also doesn't make sense because of what you just mentioned. Because of the fact that as much as I said how it's going to stunt the growth and the development of the young players, it's also a complete non-fit with your head coach. Because your head coach is going to demand defense. Your head coach is going to demand an offense where you move and share the basketball. And you keep it moving and you get it to the open guy and you rely on the open guy to knock down shots. That's not what James Harden wants. That's not what he's had in the past. And that's what not what James Harden, in my mind, in my opinion, is going to expect when he comes back to an organization that he feels he made relevant and kept relevant for a significant period of time. He's going to remember what it was like when he left and wanted to return to that level when he comes back. And that's not the people you have in place with the goals of the roster and the head coach, in my opinion.
Do you think that conversation was had with Udoka whenever he was going through the coaching carousel and the interview process? Do you think the James Harden conversation was had?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that.
That's surprising to me.
But it's not because of the people involved in the process. I think that they were going to be enamored with getting this guy locked in no matter what and then deal with the consequences. You look what happened with Stephen Silas. I don't think Stephen Silas, there was a conversation that you might lose one or both of Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
But Silas was not coveted.
No, he wasn't.
Udoka had options.
He did have options, but I think at the same time, they were focused on the money and everything that made sense to get him on the dotted line and not do anything that might deter from it. And I think bringing up James Harden might have deterred from it. So I think they did what they had to do to get the guy that they wanted to get, and they would cross that bridge later if they were truly going to be as serious as it seems like they might be about bringing him in.
Yeah, I think Udoka would want to have that conversation. If not, it'd be a failure on his part, I think. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Do you agree with Kenyon Martin? 713, words you never thought you would say. 713-780-3776. Also, how excited does D'Amico Ryans make you? I might have to dust off the old Homer hat. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, got to tell you about good people at Apollo Men's Health. Doco and his staff are totally focused on making sure you, as a client, as a customer, are pleased, happy, and get results. That's what they're focused on a daily basis. It could be from a variety of different issues that you're having, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. If you're having issues, they have solutions. They can get you where you need to go and have you feeling better than you felt in years. The fact of the matter is, if you want to get on a weight loss program or you want to get in a workout program and you want to do it the right way and find the way to get the best results for you, they'll put you on a program that works. They'll get you the results you need. If you want to lose weight, they have a new FDA-approved semi-glutide plan that has you losing up to 6 pounds every week. You start thinking about it on a month-to-month basis, and you could lose 24 pounds in a month. And think about how much better you would feel, how much better you would look, how much confidence you would have. It's amazing. And if you want to talk about workouts, they have all the different ways they can find more energy in your life on a daily basis with everything from B12 shots to all the different ways for men and women. They do hormone therapy. And then they can also do body composition analysis so you can chart your progress and your results. And you can recover quicker with HGH peptide therapy. They have stuff for your smoothies. They have all kinds of supplements as well. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. Start the process right now. Go to ApolloMH.com. And sign up for your first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. But then go in, be honest, answer their questions, and get on a program. They'll get you the results. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.